All right, I want you to take the Word of God, please. Turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 1. 1 Samuel, chapter number 1. We'll read some verses out of 1 Samuel, chapter 1. First verse is verse number 11. 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 11. God willing, we'll be concluding the parent-child relationship tonight. And then we'll be switching our focus back again on Wednesday night to the your family and the local church relationship. And then I'm excited about the next two Sundays because I'm going to expose the devil. And I love doing it. I love doing it. He can't stand me and I hate him too. Amen. By the way, that's where you get in trouble is when you start playing patty cake with him. You better hate him is what you better do. Love the Lord. Hate the devil. I am so excited about that. One thing I've learned about him is anytime I expose him, he attacks me. And I'm not saying bring it on. I'm not saying that. But I realize he can't touch me as long as I'm right with God and doing what the Lord wants me to do. And that's why it's so important that you stay right with God. Because the Lord is the only answer to the attacks of the devil. There's no doubt about it. I'll help you with that the next two Sundays. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. And she here is Hannah, vowed a vow and said on the affliction, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, and I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Look at verse number 20. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, as she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour, a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he should be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. And I want to preach to you tonight on this subject, Hannah, a model mother. Hannah, a model mother. Now let's pray together, and all of us can learn some great lessons from this, but specifically mothers tonight, if you are one. Our Father, we love you. We ask that you help me to preach in a way that's understandable and clear. Would you forgive my sins? Help this to be a great time where people hear and understand and even, Lord God, obey the Word of God. Help us as we look at Hannah tonight, Lord, to be what you'd have us to be and learn what you'd have us to learn. May thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Now in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, verses 1 through 19, we see a lady brought out for our attention by the name of Hannah. She's introduced to us here. And in these verses, verses 1 to 19, we see her barren, burdened, broken, and begging God. And she was barren and begged God for a man child. And as we come to chapter 1, verse 20, we see the Lord answers her prayer. Now, as I was thinking on this passage of Scripture a long time ago, the Lord seemed to lay on my heart how Hannah was truly a model mother. There are several things, specifically four in this text, that I see about Hannah that helped her become a mother that all others, not just mothers, but all other parents really can model after. As a matter of fact, mothers and fathers both can learn a great deal from this godly lady. But I want to talk to you about this model mother by the name of Hannah. There were four things that summarized her life that helped her to be a model mother. Four areas that you can model after her. Number one, she was a model mother in her appeal. We see this in verse number 11 where the Bible says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Hannah is no doubt a model mother in her prayer life. She was a mother who
prayed. Now, there's three things about her appeal here, her prayer, if you will, that all of us can learn from. Number one, under this, she involved the Lord in her problems. Now, we understand right here that she did this by simply coming to him. It's interesting that this nobleman this morning, this father of faith, the first thing we noticed about him is that he went to the Lord Jesus Christ in his problem. The same thing about a mother applies. When you have problems in your life, when you're on the mountaintop or in the valley, you ought to involve the Lord in your daily life. You ought to go to him all the time, day by day, moment by moment. The Word of God tells us again in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We need to involve the Lord by our prayer life. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. She involved the Lord in her appeal. Number two, she informed the Lord in her appeal. Let me ask you a question. Did God know exactly what was going on in her life? Did he, yes or no? Sure he did. He knew what was going on, but it's interesting that she told him exactly what was going on in her mind and in her heart. She wanted him to know, even though he already did, she informed him anyway of how she was feeling and how she was struggling. You know what we need to learn about our prayer life? That when you go to God in prayer, now listen to me, you ought to be very respectful, you ought to be very reverent. I'm not saying that and I'm not bashing that because you do need to do that. But you need to learn to talk to God like you talk to anybody else. In other words, if you're feeling down, tell God about it. And what I'm saying to you mothers is that however you're feeling, you're down and out, you're confused, you're feeling great, you're feeling awful, however you don't understand some things that's going on, even though God already knows, and even though God already knew how Hannah was feeling, Hannah didn't take any chances. She wanted to pour her heart out to him in such a way, and she was saying, God, I want to be honest with you, here's what I'm feeling, and here's what I want. We see in her appeal, she involved the Lord. In her appeal, she informed the Lord. Psalm 62:8 says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. Number three, she entreated the Lord. That word entreat means to beg. Hannah begged the Lord to come to her rescue. And again, James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What am I saying? I'm saying mothers and fathers, and really everybody as far as that's concerned, but let me apply it to the mothers here. You need to hold on to the altar of God, not only for your children, but for yourself. And you need to ask God to give you what pleases him. By the way, in her informing, in her entreating, and in her involving, she had the right attitude. Because in verse number 11, notice how she identified herself. She said, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction, notice this, of thine handmaid, and remember me and not forget thine handmaid. May you remember every time you come into the presence of Almighty God, don't come in his presence with pride. Come into his presence identifying yourself as I'm your servant. I'm your handmaid. I am at your beck and call. We see she had the attitude of dependency upon him. She didn't come to him demanding. Are you listening to me? She did not come to the Lord demanding. She came to the Lord depending. There's a big difference. There's people today who will go into the Lord's presence and say, I want this, give it to me now. That's not prayer. That's not the spirit of prayer. The right attitude and spirit of prayer is the spirit of, I realize this will not happen without you. And by the way, I'm just your handmaiden. I'm just your servant. And however you choose to answer is just fine with me. Does that summarize your prayer life? She had the right attitude in this. We're looking at her appeal, her prayer life. She was a model mother in that. She had the right attitude. But secondly, she had the right attributes. Let me show you some things here. She prayed specifically, folks. Look at verse number 11. It says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember it, not forget thine handmaid, but will give thine handmaid a man child. She got very specific with him. She didn't say, give me a child. She said, I want a boy. Amen. Now you're listening, there's a great thought here. How many times are we guilty of going into God's presence and saying, God bless you, missionaries? Meet their needs, take care of them. When God says, listen, I want you to get very specific with me. Tell me exactly what you want. Tell me exactly how you're feeling. She was very specific. Secondly, under this, she was persistent. Because the Bible says in verse number 12, look at it, and it came to pass, as she continued praying. See, the great thing about her appeal here is that she kept on praying. You know, one of the greatest things that can be said about a mother is that she'll pray and she'll not stop. She'll just keep on praying. That's one of the greatest things about a mom. Thirdly, under this, she was fervent, because in verse number 15, we notice right here it says, and Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am not a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have not drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." Let me ask you a question. When's the last time, mother, that you literally poured your soul out before God? She's saying this, "I have nothing left. I've completely expended myself." So many times we as God's children will go into His presence, and we go into His presence just half-hearted. You ever gone into His presence not really expecting Him to answer your prayer? You ever gone into His presence and saying, "Well, I'll pray because the Bible told me to, but I just don't know about it." Not Hannah. Hannah was a model mother who went to God specifically, who went to God persistently, and who went to God fervently. She poured her heart out to Him. George Adam Smith tells how he and his guide were climbing the West High, I guess it's Westhorn, it might be Weisshorn, in the Swiss Alps. It was a stormy day, and they were making their climb on the sheltered side of the peak. In other words, the storm was beating up against the other side of the mountain, and they were climbing and elevating on the sheltered side. When they got to the peak of this mountain, this man who tells a story said he tried to stand up, and when he tried to stand up, the winds from the storm on the other side caught him and was getting ready to throw him down to his death, until the guide caught him, pulled him down to his knees, and made this statement. He said, "On your knees, sir." He said, "You're safe here, only on your knees." And in the same way, in this life, our safety comes by staying on our knees. Somebody says, "You want to stand tall? You want to stand tall? Then stand on your knees." Let me ask you a question, mothers. Specifically mothers, but everybody apply it to yourself. I'm applying it to me. I learned great lessons from Hannah. But specifically mothers tonight, let me ask you, how's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Number one, are you getting a prayer through? Number two, are you trying to get a prayer through? Number three, how often are you going into God's presence? Number four, how are you going into God's presence? Boy, I tell you, this is one of those messages you're not going to go home and say, "Boy, wasn't point four under point one, little letter A, number three, great." I'm giving you all kinds of stuff tonight. But the first major point I'm showing you that Hannah was a model mother in, she was a model mother in her appeal. She knew how to pray. And I'm going to tell you what our children need. They need a mama who knows how to get a hold of God in her appeal. Secondly, she was a model mother in her acknowledgement. We see this in verses 20 and 27. Look at it. It says, "Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, 'Because I have asked him of the Lord.'" Look at verse 27. "For this child," this is her speaking, "for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me the petition which I ask of him." The point I'm trying to get across here is that Hannah was a mother who gave all the glory to God. In verse number 20, she called his name Samuel. You know what the name Samuel literally means? It means asked of God. That's what his name means. Even his name showed her acknowledgement. She was acknowledging the fact that this child was a gift from God. The Bible says in verse number 27 that she said, "The Lord hath given me my petition." The point I'm trying to make to you here, ladies, is this. This mother is a model mother because she acknowledged the fact that her child would never have been born if the Lord did not answer her prayer. She realized that that child was a gift from God, not a grief of mind. You know, I can't imagine, honestly, it makes me mad. I have to be very careful. But I can't imagine that there are people out there who have children and they don't even want them. I can't imagine it. That is not of God. That is as wicked as the devil. And what I'm saying, there are people everywhere who do not want their children. They think they can live it up, do their own thing, and then if somehow they become expectant, they can just go to the abortion clinic. And yes, that is murder. Because the Word of God tells us He knew us in our mother's womb. And listen to me, abortion is murder, and you bring anybody to see me and they will never change my mind on that. That is murder. Hannah's saying this. She's saying, this boy I've got, I want everybody to know loud and clear, this is not my doing. This is God's blessing on my life. This boy's a gift from Almighty God. And so many parents look at their children as a grief. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? Now, can your children be a grief? You're laughing, tells me what you think. But in a nutshell, what I'm saying to you is that children, Psalm 127 verse 3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Hannah was a model mother in her acknowledgement of God's blessing her with Samuel. She acknowledged God's goodness to her. Amen. God's been good to us. I'm thinking about my own two precious kids. One of them in heaven already because my wife lost the baby. But two of them still living. Amen. That little girl. Good night. Bless her heart. She's sick tonight. Becky told me when I got home, she said when she heard my voice coming over the internet, she's like, Daddy, Daddy. Kids tell it like it is, you know. Think about that little boy of mine. He's in the service, I guess. He's back there with my mom and dad. Those kids are a gift. They're not a grief. They're God's gift to me. God's been good to me, folks. He's been good to you, too. She's a model mother in her acknowledgement. Number three, she's a model mother in her attitude. We see this in verses 17, 18, 22 through 27. I'm not going to read it all because I'm going to touch on it as I go through it. I'll read it just sporadically here. She had the right attitude towards some things. And I'm going to tell you something. Whether you're a mom or dad, either one, or whether you're a parent at all, you need to have the same attitudes towards these same four things that she had. First of all, under this, she had the right attitude towards God's Word. We see this in verses 17 and 18. Look at it. It says, then Eli, now Eli was God's representative, answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And let me help you with something here. Hannah did not have the full revelation of God's word like you and I do. At this moment, the way God would speak, typically he would speak through his people. And Eli, when Eli made this statement, she realized God was speaking to her through Eli. Are you with me? She had God's word here. Now notice what she did in verse 18. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Now this tells me something great about her. This tells me that because the word of God tells us here that when she left Eli, after Eli spoke on behalf of God, it says her countenance was no more sad. What's that tell you before she went to Eli? That means she was sad, folks. How can she be no more sad if she wasn't sad in the first place? She was sad. She was burdened. She was broken. And yet she went to God, and God's man stood up and said, God is going to give you that request. And the Bible said as soon as she heard that, her countenance changed. And her countenance was no more sad. This tells me she had the right attitude towards God's word. What I mean is she was a woman who believed God. She believed what God told her. She believed it whenever Eli spoke and said, God's going to give it to you. She believed the word of God. And we need mothers today who say, I don't care what comes in my life, I will believe what this book tells me much more than I'll believe Hollywood. And I'll believe this book much more than I believe another human being. And I'll believe this book much more than I believe somebody who gives me counsel against this Bible. I will believe the Word of God. She had the right attitude towards God's Word. The Bible tells us in Acts 27, 25, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Matthew 11, 22, Jesus saith, have faith in God. She had the right attitude towards God's Word. Secondly, she had the right attitude towards God's will. We see this in verse number 22. Look at it. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then will I bring him, that he may appear before the Lord. Now notice this, and there abide forever. Now what's this mean? Hannah was a model mother in that. Listen to this, please. Here it is. It's time for him to go up. The child's too young. She hasn't weaned him yet. But she says, I will not go up until I've weaned him. And when I have weaned him, I'm going to take him to God's house and I'm going to drop him off there. Let me ask you a question. You think she loved Samuel? How much you think she loved this boy? But here's the point I'm trying to get you to see. This lady wanted the will of God for her child's life much more than she wanted her own will. She wanted God's will for him. And we see in this that she's a model mother because she helped her son find the will of God for his life. She helped her son know the will of God for his life. And what we need are mothers who say, I will not help my son find his way. I want to help my son and my daughter find the will of God for their life. And that's why, parents, it's so vitally important that we stay right with God. Why? Because our children, God loves them. The devil's after them. And yet we as parents have the responsibility and the high duty to step in and say, wait a minute, I want you going God's way. I want you doing what God wants you to do. And don't step in and say, I want you to do that or that or that. Why don't you step in and say, I want God's will for my children. Let me ask you a question. Do you want what you want for your kids, or do you want what God wants for your kids? Hannah made it very clear that she wanted the will of God for her son. And there are so many parents today who are so concerned, will their kids make it financially? Will they have a big house? Will they have a large salary? Who cares if they miss the will of God? God's will is more important than financial prosperity. Help your children find the will of God. She is an example. She's a model in her attitude towards the will of God. And right here in verse number 22, it's noticed that she says, when I drop him off, I'm not coming back. He's going to be there forever. She knew God's will for her son was more important than her own. And she knew the will of God was forever. And I ask you again a question. Whose will do you want more for your children? Mothers, who do you want to have his way in your children's life? Some mothers are scared to death because they're afraid if they take their hands off, they're afraid that God's going to call their little baby to the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa. And I'm telling you this, he may do that if you take your hands off. But if he does that, it'll be the very best for them. And it'll be the very best for you. By the way, you didn't have them without him. He's the one that gave them to you. And how can we take a loan from God and say, I'll keep him for myself. I'll keep her for myself. Take your hands off and let God have his way with your children. When's the last time you've brought your children to the altar? When's the last time I've seen a teenager and his parent kneel right here and say, God, use my boy, use my girl. God, help us tonight, people. It's time that we have mothers and daddies who want God's will more than their own. Amen. She's a model mother in her attitude towards God's word. She's a model mother in her attitude towards God's will. She's a model mother in her attitude towards God's house. We see this in verse 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her. I'm out of breath. With three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine. Notice this. And brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Hannah had an attitude of faithfulness and commitment to God's house. Get this, she didn't ask the child if he wanted to go. She took him. There are people today, now listen to me please, because I'm going to preface this by saying this. Our church is not the only church. There are other good, godly, fundamental churches in our area. There are also other churches that are going to lead you astray too. If you are a family who allows your children to decide where you go to church, that is not biblical. That is not Bible. You need to be a family that says, wait a minute, this is what God is leading us to do, and this is where we're going. And as long as you stick your feet under my table, eat my food, wear my clothes, use my heat, use my water, you will do as I say. Amen. By the way, they'll respect you for that later. They may rebel against you now, but when they get out on their own, they'll respect you for that. I know what I'm talking about. She had the right attitude towards the house of God. She purposely brought him to the Lord's house. To Hannah, the Lord's house was important. Notice verse number 24 says the child was young. And it's interesting right here. If you fast forward it to today's age, if Hannah was still living, she'd be in church 3 times a week every time the doors open. Amen. Somebody says that's old-fashioned. Then I'm old-fashioned. Because I still believe, and I still have Bible, and I'll always have Bible, that if the church house is open, unless you cannot possibly get here, you ought to be here. How can you argue that? You can't argue that. By the way, if anybody argues that, they're telling on themselves. There's something not right up here with a person like that. Wait a minute, there's something not right here with a person like that. She had the right attitude towards the house of God, God's house. She was present. She was faithful to the house of God. And she made sure her kids were in the house of God too. Well, I'll come, but a junior, he doesn't want to get up that early. And I'm afraid if I force him that he's going to run away from God. What's he already doing, ma'am? What's he already doing? By the way, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Could it be that they don't want to come because they don't want to hear the Bible? And could it be if they hear the Bible, that's what God's going to use maybe to crack their heart? So you ought to make sure. You don't have any business telling me what to do. You're right, but God does. And God says you ought to have your children in his house. I didn't say it, God did. And Hannah was a lady, a mother, who made sure when she went, she took. By the way, there's a great lesson there too. You should never send your children without sending yourself. I'm all for the bus ministry. Brother John's sitting right here shaking his head. Yes, he knows I'm telling the truth. I love our bus ministry. Love it. We're not stopping it. I want to increase it. Don't you? But these parents are not right for sending their kids and not bringing them. But that's why we have to go in. And that's why we have to try to reach them with the gospel. And that's why we have the bus family soul winning available, where you take this child that visited today and then somebody goes into that home and says, let me just share with you what your child's going to learn when they come to our church. Wouldn't it be great to start seeing bus parents walk the aisle and saying, listen, I've been wrong for sending my kid. I'm going to bring them from now on. She's a model mother in this. She had the right attitude towards God's word, God's will, God's house, and number four, towards God's man. We see this in verses 25 and 26. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli, and she said, oh, my Lord. Now, she's talking to Eli, little L here. Oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. Eli was the high priest in his day. And keep in mind that he was the leader of the Lord's house. Eli was put in office by God himself. Sound familiar? The leader of God's house, put in office by God himself, that's the pastor. Now, it's not easy for a pastor to preach on how you ought to have an attitude towards the pastor. But please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm preaching this because it's Bible. We understand today that twice in verse 26, she said, oh, my Lord. Now, what's that mean? That means I expect you every time you see me to call me. No, I'm just kidding with you. I'm kidding. The idea here, though, when she referred to him twice as my Lord, little L, not capital L, little L, she was respecting him. She was showing him respect. You know, one of the greatest things you can do for your children is to love and respect the leadership that he places in the local church. Let me tell you a major reason why you need to do that. By the way, you are doing that. I don't know of anybody who's not. Because number one, you don't have anything to criticize. I'm perfect. Have you not figured that out yet? No, I'm not perfect. Far from it. But let me tell you something. If you get a critical attitude towards the leadership, you might as well leave and find another church. I don't want to lose anybody. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But if you criticize the leadership, especially the pastor, and your children are present, or even if they're not present, it still shows. And if you do that, you're condemning them. They'll never listen to anything I have to say. If you don't respect me, they won't either. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth, don't you? Hannah had the right attitude towards God's man. She was not going to criticize him. By the way, he thought she was drunk earlier in the chapter. Read it for yourself. He falsely accused her early in the chapter. Are you drunk, lady? Shows you how far from God he was, is what I say. That's another message. But he falsely accused her. And she could have said, hey, you were wrong, buddy. No. The next time she saw him, she said, my Lord. What a great lesson. What a great lesson. She's a model mother in her attitude. She had the right attitude towards God's word, God's will, God's house, and God's man. By the way, Numbers chapter 16 is still in the Bible. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram got upset with Moses, who was God's appointed leader. And they said, Moses, you take too much upon you. We're as good as you are. Anybody remember what God said? In verses 21 and 26, God said this in a nutshell, Moses, tell everybody that's around them to get away from them. There's a biblical thought here too. If you have anybody that comes to you and criticizes, you better separate. You better not get in with them. Because he said in verses 29 through 32, he says, I'm taking them down. And he said, when I take them down, whoever's around them is going down with them. Read it for yourself. And the Bible says the earth opened up and they dropped straight down into hell. Numbers chapter 16, read it for yourself. Somebody says, you're trying to scare me, if that's what it takes. You're saying, I'm going to go to hell if I criticize you? No, I'm not saying that. But God will take you down. And he'll take anybody down with you who does not separate. Amen. By the way, that applies to any leadership position in this church. That applies to the teenagers. If you badmouth your youth director or your youth director's wife, God knows that. Amen. And by the way, if the parents ever hear that, you say, is this happening? I hope not. But if the parents say, well, you know, honey, you're right, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. That's spiritual, excuse me, stupidity. Because we are trying to help your kids, not hurt them. So don't hurt us in the process. Amen. You're still there, aren't you? This is hard preaching, I know that. But you know it's the truth, don't you? You really do. She had the right attitude. She was a model mother in the last point here. Somebody said, good night, glory to God, let's get out of here. She was a model mother in her appeal. She was a model mother in her acknowledgement. She was a model mother in her attitude. And then lastly, she was a model mother in her administration. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Hannah's a model mother in the way she managed, in other words, the way she managed what God gave her. She recognized that Samuel was a gift from God. And that's her acknowledgement. But now in her administration, in other words, what is she going to do with him? She realizes he's a gift from God. Now how's she going to administrate with him? How's she going to take care of him? The bottom line is this. Now don't miss this. The bottom line is this. Hannah took what God gave her and turned around and gave him right back to God. It's interesting to note the same verb is used in verse 27, the word ask, and in verse number 28, the word lent. She recognized the fact that her child was only alone. Now get this terminology. He was only alone from God, and to be the best administrator of this loan was to take this loan from God and lend him right back. Now, what's the point I'm trying to say here? I'm saying that she took her hands off. She said, Lord, this is your gift. He's your boy. This is your love gift to me. I ask him of you. You answer me by lending him to me. And since you lent him to me, I will give him right back to you. Do you see how she's administering her parenthood? She's taking her hands off. By the way, there's two things under this I want you to notice. This began before birth. Verse number 11, he's not born yet. She's only praying. And she's saying, if you give me this boy, I'll give him back to you. Now, I'm saying that just in case you're sitting here and you're praying for children, or you're sitting here and you're not married yet, whatever the case may be. You don't have any children, teenagers, young girls, listen to me. Listen to me. This begins now with you. You should already make up your mind now, before you ever meet that handsome guy such as me. Before you ever do that and all that kind of stuff, of course, just now listen, I'm already taken, folks, so it's over with for you. You're going to have to settle for second best. I'm not full of pride, but whatever. But what am I saying? I'm saying it began before birth. She told the Lord and committed herself to the Lord that she would take her hands off before she even knew she was pregnant. Do you see that? And then secondly, under this, it continued till death. Because she said, as long as he liveth. As long as he lives. Verse number 11 says, all the days of his life. Verse 22, and there abide forever. Verse 28, as long as he liveth. She took her hands and her rights off. And she surrendered him to the Lord for however the Lord wanted to use him. God, give us mothers like that again. Hannah, no doubt. Now, by the way, there are too many parents tonight who have their own desires and their own priority for their children. Too many of them. Let me ask you a question. Do you have your kids' future already lined up in your mind? They may not even know it, but do you have something in your mind saying, boy, I hope they do this. Boy, I hope they become following my footsteps and do the same thing I'm doing. Well, I'll tell you one thing, maybe in the privacy of your bedroom, whatever the case may be, you sit down at night and with one another you say, well, I'll tell you one thing, I sure hope our boy gets a lot of money when he grows up, gets a good job, a good education. Now, is there anything wrong with any of that? No. Don't misunderstand me. But a true Christian parent who's a model parent, just like Hannah was a model mother, will say this, my hands are off. Whatever God wants, that's what I want for as long as he lives. Are you afraid that if you'd make that decision that God's going to reach down and call your child? Are you listening? I don't know what God has for my children. I don't know what God has for my son sitting in the back row. I don't know what God has for my little girl, but I do know this. God has worked in my life in such a way that if he calls them to the deepest part of the world, that's what I want. That's easy to say it. Hard to put them on a plane maybe one of these days and watch them go. I know that. But you understand that, folks, listen to me. Your children are a loan from God. They're not yours. They're his. And she recognized that. And she said, I will take my hands off. She's a model mother in that. She's a model mother in her appeal. She's a model mother in her acknowledgement. She's a model mother in her attitude, and she's a model mother in her administration. God help us to be also. How's your life measure up to Hannah's? May the Lord take it, and may he use it in a wonderful, mighty way. Amen. Let's bow our heads together, please, and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness to us. And I pray that you'll help us to learn the lesson from the life of Hannah, especially the mothers who are gathered here. But really all of us, Lord, there's so many things in her life that all of us can learn from. Help us to learn the lesson. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. First thing is first, and that is this. You cannot be the mother or the father or the son or the daughter or the person, whatever, whether you have children or not, you cannot be everything that God wants you to be unless, first of all, you are in the family of God. Has there been a time in your life when you have trusted Christ and Christ alone? Has there been a time in your life when you've realized that you're a sinner, but Jesus died for your sins? Has there been a time when you've put your faith and trust in Him and Him alone? Are you truly a born-again Christian? If you're not saved tonight, I want to recommend Him to you. He's a wonderful Savior. Somebody here tonight, you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not even sure I'm saved. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. But you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not even sure I'm saved. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that, I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. That's fine if there's not. But if there's one, we want to help you. May the Lord help you with this. And let me ask you this. How many of you say, Jody, I'm a mother, and I'm going to be honest, based upon what I've heard tonight, I am not a model mother. Now, I'm not asking you to get specific here because it's none of my business. You need to get specific with God. But it may be in your appeal, your prayer life, in other words. It may be in your acknowledgement of your child. You've been looking at your children the wrong way. Or maybe it's in your attitude towards God's word or God's will or God's house or God's man. Or maybe it's in your administration. Maybe God's revealed to you that you need to take your hands off. That God's will is so much more important than yours. And you need to administer in the way that Hannah did. And that is realizing that your children are just alone from God. That's it, just alone. And we need to lend them back to Him. Have you been an honest lady? You're a mother, but God is speaking to you. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest lady. Be an honest mother. That's all I'm asking you to be. Be an honest mother. You got your hand raised. I want you to lower it, but I want you to listen to me closely. It all starts with you. Now, God has done His part. God has spoken to you. Now, why don't you do business with Him? Have you here tonight and you say, Jody, I'm not a mother. Maybe you're a man. Or maybe you're a teenager. Or maybe you're just a lady who hasn't had children or whatever the case may be. You say, I'm not a mother or whatever the case may be. But God, I believe, is speaking to me. And I want to acknowledge that. God is dealing with me. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? God bless you. That's a lot of hands, several hands. If you raise your hand to anything, that's a lot of you. I want you to sit back and look at me just a moment. By the way, you shouldn't be ashamed to ever sit back and look at me because this is not a condemnation. This makes it more personal when I look around at you and I see you. And I want to say something to you. The life of Hannah convicts me. There are things I need to work on. And it's an exalted privilege when God speaks to you. He doesn't have to do that, but He did. I want to challenge you. Let's do business with the Lord. Amen. I hope you'll do it. I hope you'll come. Somebody's here does not know the Lord as their Savior, not sure that heaven's their home. Why don't you come as others will come in just a moment? Let us take a Bible. Share the gospel with you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it, break it in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed.